From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 14th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Congress should vote on the farm bill this week, maybe even today. The president still says he'll veto it. And three companies have filed to patent a whole series of climate-related genes. We'll have more later. On the subject of climate, we'll hear a bit more today from Emerson Nafziger about the wet start to the growing season and its potential impact. And Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City should join us in just about 26 minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they finished up. On this expiration day for the May contracts, futures in the wheat pit finished like this, nearby May at 761, down 24.5 cents today. July futures now the lead option at 764, 31 and three quarters lower, and September at 778 and a quarter, down 31 and three quarters. May corn futures 589 and three quarters, 7 and three quarters lower. July at 596 and a quarter, down 11. And September futures 608 and a quarter, 11 and one quarter lower for the day. December contract 620 and a half in the corn pit, 10 and a half cents lower for the afternoon. May soybeans at $13.71 went off the board at 3.5 cents lower. July futures unchanged at $13.79 and a half. And the August, $13.76 and a half, up 2 cents for the day. September, $13.49, 4 and a quarter higher. And November beans up 7 and one quarter at $13.33. June live cattle, $94.62 and a half, up 27 and a half. The August futures at $100.22 and a half, 25 cents higher. May feeders at $108.45, down 30 cents for the day. And the August at $112.75, a dime higher. May lean hogs, $82.30, a nickel higher for the afternoon. And the June futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, lean hog contract at $78.17 and a half cents, up 50 cents for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby June crude oil futures at $123.90, now trading $1.90 a barrel lower. July futures at $124.50, down $1.09. June ethanol futures at $2.49 and 1/10 of a cent, down 4 and 8 tenths. July at $2.46 and 8 tenths, down 4 and 2 tenths. Natural gas trading $11.59 and 5 tenths, 17 and 3 tenths higher. July futures up 17 and 9 tenths at $11.73 and 5 tenths for the day. Heating oil trading the June contract at $3.62 and 1 tenth, that's down 7 and 7 tenths. July futures at $3.62 and 7 tenths. Down 8 and 1/10 for the day. The propane futures at $1.75 at this hour, and the gold futures are trading at $865.40, down $3.10. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 12,970, is just about 138 points higher. The dollar at 73.396 is up 0.10 for the day, and the CRB index now stands at 422.57. That's down 2.18 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist. He says tonight in the north, skies will be partly cloudy. In central sections, partly to mostly cloudy. In the south, it'll be cloudy, a few scattered showers. Lows will range from around 40 in the far north to 58 in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in northern Illinois, partly sunny. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers. In central Indiana and the south, cloudy, a few periods of rain and thunderstorms. Highs will range, says Mr. Kieser, from 56 near Lake Michigan to 68 in the far south. More on the agricultural weather just after the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks. A wet, cloudy afternoon here in Oakland, Illinois. We had over an inch of rain here in the rain gauge in Oakland.
And we had, I don't know what we had last night, but it's been wet here in Champaign for sure. We'll check in, see if we can get maybe a number from Ed Kieser on that a bit later. But the numbers in this part of the world have been awfully wet, and they've been talking about drier conditions to the west in Iowa. Have they started to dry out yet? What are you hearing from them?
Well, you know, and there is this idea of less moisture and a little drier conditions. My meteorologist this morning talked about a weather, little wetter weather program around May the 21st to the 25th. It was wetter than the previous day's forecast on the European model. And I called him about 1:30 today to see what his opinion was. And he said, yes, he still thinks that that's going to be a wet period of time. He also mentioned that there'll be a lot of beans yet to plant by June the 1st and being planted. A couple things that we are noting, of course, from here south, it's extremely wet in the state of Illinois, Indiana, and the general feeling is that the cool temperatures are, you know, basically slowing growth in the cornfields. Also, the wheat crop is possibly 1 to 2 weeks behind in southern Illinois. And the other one is that, you know, the beans that are planted, it's hard for them to come through the ground when it is so chilly out here. But all in all, tomorrow morning, Informa comes out with a guest estimate on their acreage report. And it'll be interesting to see if we do see a slight increase in corn acres. Obviously, the marketplace is basically saying maybe more corn and less soybeans. But the marketplace is sometimes wrong, and this weather is very hard to predict as far as planting.
It appears the expiration of the bank contracts went fairly orderly today. Is there any other tale to tell there?
When we talk about the export and the expiration of the contracts or anything, you know, the only thing that we really pick up is that the Argentine farmer strike is a problem, and the government doesn't seem to be cooperating with the farmer. There seems to be an adequate supply of commodities to ship over the next 10 days. I think the one factor that we do feel is, and it's been talked about in the last 10 days, and it even shows up in today's trade, that fund money is leaving LaSalle Street and maybe some of the commodity exchanges and going over to a little calmer Wall Street. And one reason they said is that they thought that the commodity world was pretty high-priced. We did see a sell-off today in crude oil, and I think it was also, as you mentioned, the metals market. And as a result of that, you know, Wall Street is trading better. You can see a better attitude on some of the Wall Street traders when they give a market report. So, you know, that does seem to be a trend that we're noting.
Is that one that commodity traders and farmers, owners of grain, need to be fearful of very much?
Well, it's a good point, because we will see, you know, any dips maybe be supported a little less by commodity funds, but we still think there's some very strong value here. And the value, one, is pretty high-priced oil. Number two is that the USDA, for example, in soybeans, is basically saying that the tight carryover is going to be tight this year. It's even going to be tight next year. We don't really see a big abundant acreage increase in South America as far as soybeans are concerned. And two, it's going to be a real job to get the corn planted this year, and it's going to be planted late and a lot of input. So, you know, we're costs are very high. So really the big acreage worry about more acres coming on will probably take place, you know, with CRP acres coming out. And the first thing that we have to look at with a fine-tooth magnifying glass is what the details of this new farm bill, if and when it is passed.
And I know that our own Dave Dickey is keeping close track of that, and they're discussing that in the House, I believe, this afternoon. And maybe before we get done with this program, we'll have an update on whether or not they have voted. I don't think by the time we get to the news this afternoon they'll have that opportunity. They still had some time for discussion, but we'll take it up later in the program if we actually hear whether they passed it. One way or the other, it appears the administration is going to dig in its heels and veto the farm bill as it came out of the conference committee. They don't like it at all.
Yeah, a couple things that I note. The farm groups are for it, and it will probably be a veto-proof measure when it does come out of the House and the Senate, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's not a law. You know, there are some issues, but the real bottom line is it has been debated, and unfortunately it's taken this long, and I wish there'd be more bipartisanship in the ag community and to get this thing passed earlier and quicker. The one thing that I feel is a distraction is the worry about a few big players getting all the money. You know, I think that one has been overblown, and we need to put that one to bed because they pay taxes, they own farmland, they deserve some benefits as well.
Mr. Dickey and I were listening to the conversation that was happening on the floor just before we came on the air, and certainly that was the debate that was going on not more than, 20 minutes ago. In Washington, D.C., 20 minutes ago, just before 2 o'clock, I suppose, Central Time, as this program airs delayed on a couple of stations around the state. Any final word from you before we let you go?
Have a profitable day, and it's a wet area here in East Central Illinois, and we hope the farmers get it planted soon.
Thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In just a few moments, Dave Dickey will be here with the very latest in agricultural news, including what's been happening in Washington, D.C.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
The U.S. House is just minutes away from a vote on the Farm Bill Conference Report. Supporters hope the measure garners at least 290 votes, enough to override a potential presidential veto. This morning, points of order to delay passage on earmarks and unfunded mandates were unsuccessful. This afternoon, some Republicans criticized the bill on the House floor. Arizona Republican Jeff Flake said, quote, "This bill has been under consideration for a long, long time, and yet we still have earmarks that have been airdropped into the legislation." Wisconsin Republican Ron Kind called the bill, quote, "an absence of leadership." The bill is hiding $23 billion in extra costs. The White House issued a fact sheet saying the actual increase in Farm Bill spending over baseline is almost $20 billion and not the $10 billion claimed by Congress. The administration says congressional estimates fail to include $4.5 billion of shifted payments, $1.4 billion in new tax provisions, and the measure includes $4 billion in what it calls illusionary savings created by cutting off funding for certain programs, including disaster assistance. Yesterday, President George Bush announced he would veto the farm bill. A written statement said in part, "I am deeply disappointed in the conference report as it falls far short of the proposal my administration put forward." Senate Agriculture Committee member Charles Grassley, though, predicted a presidential veto likely won't factor into decisions by GOP lawmakers on whether to support the bill. In Grassley's words, "When you have a lame duck president, he has a very weak loyalty in the Congress from his own party." South Korea says the U.S. has accepted its modified plan to ban beef imports if another case of mad cow disease is discovered. That's a change from last month when Seoul said it would halt imports of U.S. beef only if the Paris-based World Organization for Animal Health downgraded its safety rating for American cattle. Argentina grain exporters have begun to default on shipments because of an ongoing farm strike. Just two trucks made it to port yesterday, compared with more than 5,000 on the same date last year. Farmers are expected to meet Thursday to decide if they will continue 200 roadblocks across the country. And Brazil says it will follow other booming nations like China and Persian Gulf oil states and set up a sovereign wealth fund worth between $10 and $20 billion for investment. Brazil also unveiled a $125 billion industrial policy plan to stimulate new export and high-tech industries through tax breaks, venture capital, and other incentives. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Up next, the crops in the Midwest, at least those in the ground, are off to a rough start. I'll have more on the potential impact the wet spring may have on the corn crop and some advice for when farmers might want to pull the trigger and decide to plant soybeans instead.
It will be a planting season to remember, that's for sure.
That may well be the understatement for 2008. It comes from University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. At the time, he was pondering the impact of planting corn into rough, wet conditions early in the month of May, as opposed to waiting for drier weather to arrive, which really didn't happen across the U.S. Corn Belt in the first 2 weeks of the month.
If we get a kind of summer that we can get sometimes with periods of dry weather, particularly in late June and into July, these conditions that we planted the corn under can really come back and hurt us. Just simply the root system may not have the ability to grow through some of those layers, the compacted layers that we formed when we went and drove on these fields.
So the corn crop in the United States, at least the half which had already been planted by mid-month, is starting out at a disadvantage. But does that mean farmers who can should consider switching some acres to soybeans as the days of May pass? Nafziger says the answer really is no.
That switch from corn to soybean is going to be a pretty wrenching decision for some people. When you see the corn price like it is, it's kind of hard to back away. And as I said, you can pencil in a profit at almost any yield that you think you might get, even if it's not a very high one for corn. I think that I would need to get to the very end of May, probably, before I decide that my prospects for corn yields just aren't there and that we better switch to soybean for more safety.
Planting soybeans after mid-May is not all that uncommon, says Emerson Nafziger, and he says the data from the University of Illinois leads him to believe the bean isn't particularly responsive to changes in the planting date, even if they're late.
A lot of it depends on not just what date you plant them, but what happens in the month or so after that. It's really helpful for soybeans to get off to a fairly fast start of vegetative growth, get a reasonable canopy on them, and as you get into early July when they start to flower. And so we can get that. The old rule of thumb is it's good to have 6 weeks of growth from planting to flowering. Well, we flower typically in central Illinois. We would be flowering about the end of the first week or maybe the start of the second week of July.
That puts May 20 as a prime target for planting soybeans in the central part of Illinois. But if it slips, even substantially, Nafziger says it's still possible to get favorable conditions and a pretty good soybean yield. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. couple of websites that you ought to visit. One, that you can read what Emerson Nafziger and the rest of the crop protection and production specialists have to say about this year's crop from the University of Illinois. That one is www.ipm.uiuc.edu. And, of course, our own website at willag.org, willag.org. There, not long after we finish this conversation, and you'll be able to repeat it anytime you'd like. We're talking this afternoon about the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, on a Wednesday. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
It's wet here.
It's wet here. We've probably had, give or take, a little few tenths, 4.5 inches in the last week, and we're awfully, awfully wet. It's going to be very cool, so it's probably going to be at least sometime next week before we can get back out in the field. But here again, we were better off here in this area than some of the other states. We were probably 2/3 done in corn and just making a dent in beans, though. So no panic yet, but a little concern, let's put it that way.
What are producers saying about this cool, wet weather and the crop that is either up and rowable and out of the ground, or that which, in probably worst case, is still sitting in the soils?
There's concern in both. Some of the corn popped up pretty good, and a lot of guys are telling me that it's up and growing pretty well. Others are saying it took over 2 weeks for it to come up, and it doesn't look good. It's all yellow. Others are saying that it hasn't come up at all. There's going to be some ponding and some definite replant. But at this point, there just doesn't seem to be any really panic out there. They know the things that are probably getting a little bit late, but they haven't given up, and they're still going to plant corn if they can possibly get it in, that's for sure.
How's the basis holding up in your area?
Basis is still pretty sloppy, Todd. It really is. There's just a lot of farmers that are hauling corn because they can't get back in the fields, and elevators are still picking up piles. A lot of trains rolling out there, so basis levels are really still pretty sloppy and don't seem to be rebounding anytime real soon.
The rain's having some unusual impact, I suppose, for this time of year, isn't it? Usually the basis tightens up pretty good as we go through the planting season.
It normally does, and there's even just a few whispers out there that maybe the government may have underestimated, you know, last year's crop, that they seem to think there's just a lot out there, and there is no doubt there's a lot moving. The elevator's been busy here, and the ethanol plant at Cloverdale's dumping a lot of corn, so there's just a lot out there to move, and right now, since they can't get in the field, they're content to move it.
And regardless of whether the USDA missed last year's crop or not, by the time we get to the fall of 2009, not this fall but the following one, there will be not much corn left around.
You know, really, the press on food for fuel and all the bad press that we got on the ethanol has kind of died down. Now then, I've been reading a lot the last couple of days about global demand, and there may not be enough acreage to meet the food demand in the next 2 to 3 years, and prices are going to stay up globally. So, you know, it's just going to be a very interesting year, no doubt about that.
Indeed. What are your bids for the day?
All right, our cash corn today is $5.68, beans are $13.42, and wheat today is $5.54.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated from Kansas City will join us. Stay with us right here on this radio station.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The suffering from the recent cyclone in Myanmar is unlikely to lead to civil unrest. That's the prediction of a University of Illinois professor who was raised in the country also known as Burma and studies its culture. F.K. Lehman is not surprised by reports that military leaders in Myanmar are restricting the flow of disaster aid supplies and keeping expert assistance out, saying it can run the relief effort by itself. Lehman says rural residents receive information only from the government, and he says the military is manipulating that information to pin blame for the lack of relief on foreign countries. Two new professorships in the U of I School of Music will be funded by an endowment from the co-founder of Black Entertainment Television. Sheila Johnson is naming one of the chairs funded by the $4 million endowment after music professor Dan Perino. She credits him with helping her get through her college years at the U of I when it had only around 100 African-American students in the mid-60s. The other chair is named after U of I graduate and Chicago area high school teacher Susan Starrett. Data released today by AAA Chicago shows the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas in Illinois has gone up by 44 cents in the last month. This month, an average gallon will cost about $3.89 throughout the state, 57 cents higher than last year. Indiana's Bureau of Motor Vehicles has created a new online tool that lets customers obtain 10 different services through the Internet. Accounts will let customers reserve personalized license plates or over-order driver records. More than 200 people were honored at Northern Illinois University yesterday for their role in responding to a campus shooting spree earlier this year. The university held a thank-you reception for emergency first responders, local law enforcement, and hospital personnel. The first openly gay member of the Illinois legislature has died. Larry McKeon was elected to the Illinois House in 1996 and retired 11 years later. The Chicago Democrat was best known for working to expand the state's anti-discrimination law to protect gays and lesbians. A former police officer, McKeon also served as the City of Chicago's liaison to the gay community. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather and how wet it is across the Corn Belt is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, how wet has it been and how wet will it stay?
Well, it's been wet, and it's going to stay moist in the east. I think the western Corn Belt is going to get a whole lot better, though, as we move forward over time. Our current soil moisture situation shows us saturated or nearly saturated in just about all areas from portions of Kansas and Missouri and even eastern Nebraska through Ohio and into West Virginia and Kentucky. Some of these areas are a little bit better off than others, but most of that region is saturated and has had plenty of rain in recent weeks. The forecast, though, is suggestive of some change here in the western Corn Belt. First of all, the little storm system that moved through the western Corn Belt in the last 24 to 36 hours turned out to be pretty much a flop, not much precipitation falling out there. Temperatures this afternoon are running in the 60s across the western Corn Belt, and there's not a drop of rain on the charts at the moment. There will be some thunderstorms that will move through the lower parts of the western Corn Belt, like Kansas and Missouri, overnight tonight and tomorrow, but we don't expect the precipitation to get very far to the north, and that means that most areas from places like southwest half of Iowa, northeast Kansas, northwestern Missouri, up into the Dakotas and western Minnesota will probably go about 6 days without a lot of meaningful precipitation. Maybe a few stray showers, but nothing that's going to be organized or heavy. So that's the area that will see the most aggressive field work take place as time moves on. Those areas will also be warmest, with temperatures getting in the 70s and lower 80s by the time we get to the weekend, and it will stay that way on into early next week. In contrast, the eastern Midwest is not likely to see a lot of warmth. Precipitation will continue to occur in the eastern Corn Belt on a periodic basis. We don't expect a lot of hefty amounts of moisture, but there will be at least some scattered showers, and that combined with the more moderate temperatures will probably leave us with a fairly good deal of moisture around for a little while longer. Now, I do expect some field work to take place, but it's just not going to be nearly as aggressive as what we'll see in the western Corn Belt.
So it's the cool temperatures we have to worry about. Are we talking about temperatures like today in the 60s?
Well, I think we will periodically. 60s and lower 70s will occur here over the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. We'll start seeing some warming, though, take place in Illinois in particular and areas off to the west from there as we go into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday period. But places like Michigan, Ohio, maybe northeastern Indiana, not very likely to get much warmer than the 60s over the next several days. It may even be a few afternoons only in the 50s because of cloudiness and some shower activity that will occur periodically. During the weekend and the early part of next week, we will see a frequent succession of very weak weather systems that will bring the clouds and a few showers around, especially in the afternoon hours.
And almost a flip-flop of the ability to get into the field and plant under not the best of conditions, but at least to plant from the east to the west and back from the west to the east now, right?
That's right. And I think as time moves on, we'll finally get some better conditions to occur in the east as well, but it is going to take a little while to get to that point.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Wednesdays. Visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon.